Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to On the Air with Dr. Pat Allen, Empowered Communication, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Hello, this is Patricia here with Kelly, and this is Empowered Communication, Dr. Pat Allen's Want Institute training, and Kelly Ward and I, Patricia Eltinge and Kelly Ward, are here to take calls tonight. And the call-in number is 323-203-0819. And we'd love to hear from you.
0815.
0815. Thank you.
Appreciate
the correction. Okay. So here we are waiting for callers. But in the meantime, I wanted to bring up some of Dr. Pat Allen's the first simple advice I want to talk about today, and not just for women, the advice she has always given to women and men is to each say to themselves, I am perfect, and he or she is also imperfect. We are all defective. So that's why we want to commit to the relationship, and we do our best on our side of the equation. So you want to talk more about that, Kelly, how we all have to do our own part?
We do. And I think that sometimes, well, I know some of my ladies get a little confused about that. And they're like, he's not doing this and he's not doing that. And so I ask them, well, what is it you're not doing? How are you contributing? This is a relationship and it's always a two-way street. They're like, well, I do this much and I do that much. And I'm like, you know, relationships aren't always 50-50. Sometimes one person's doing 80% of the time and the other person's doing less. And then you're doing less and they're doing more. It's a give and take. But you have to do the work on yourself. And, you know, you have to do your part and pray to God that they do theirs. And you know, we can't control other people. We can't control other people's actions, just our reaction and our actions. So I think they lose that sometimes, and they want perfection. And we
and
know
there's
what,
no perfect purpose. There's no perfect person. Oh, hello. Hello. We have a caller. Hello.
Hi, my name's Mike. Well, I was calling to see if I could talk to Pat. Is Pat there today?
Well, no, you've got today, you've got Patricia and Kelly. So what can we do for you?
When's Pat going to be back?
Well, Dr. Pat is on occasionally in the beginning, but we're going to take a question from you if you have a question.
Well, yeah, no, we can't ask her a question directly.
She's not here today, so we're here for you.
Oh, okay.
Otherwise, we'll take another caller if you don't want to have a question.
That's okay.
With us.
Yeah, I'll try her next week then. Thank you.
Very good. Uh-huh. Okay, so again, the number is 323-203-0819, and if you want to ladies groups, which Kelly can tell you more about, or private, you call email info@drpatallen.com, and you will get the office. And Sue Wagner, Dr. Pat Allen's daughter, organizes all the sessions and groups, and you'll get in touch that way.
That is true. Right? We have a lot of fun in our groups, and Dr. Pat Allen is a dynamo. She is going strong. And right now, she's not with us tonight because she's been with family and hanging out with some family. But we expect her maybe next week. I'm not sure for sure if her family will be leaving town next week or not. But yeah, she does groups. She's amazing. And
it's the
we
work
have
that's
got,
important. Yeah,
it is. She has had so much success with ladies getting married and not leaving relationships, working on the relationship, analyzing whether or not their partner is 51% valuable, which is really, really important. And doing the work on themselves while watching their yang mouths.
And a yang mouth is the masculine side of you, of us, the masculine side of us women, when we're out of control, is gets us into trouble. And that is when we are not respecting a man. Oh, so the number, oh, the correct number is 323-203-0815.
Yes.
Thank you for that. So anyway, we get when Kelly was talking about the ladies, all of us, when our yang mouth, yang meaning the masculine side of us, is when we get out of control and when we're bossy and telling, not respecting men in their ideas and their thinking. That's how we get cherished. When we respect them, then they in turn, well, they cherish us. Or they cherish us, and we in turn respect them. And that's a give and take in our energies. Right, Kelly?
Yeah, I think it's extremely important. One of the things that Dr. Pat really loves to point this one out is that if you do not respect your man, how can you ever expect to be cherished? And everybody's like, well, I want both. Well, yes, of course, we all want both to be respected and cherished. But which one do you want first? And that's Pat's question. Which do you want to be first? Do you want to be respected first and cherished second, or cherished first and respected second? And that has everything to do with that masculine energy and that feminine energy, doesn't it, Patricia?
Absolutely. And this speaks to the men too. When the men get into prioritizing their feeling centeredness, they are in their feminine. And if they're emotional, so when a man goes emotional, then he's in his feminine, and the two of you are going to get into a bitch fight, is the way we see it. So we're trying to keep each person in their lane. And it doesn't, this applies to gay, straight, lesbian, whoever is a masculine energy primarily, stays primarily in their lane. And whoever is primarily chooses to be in the feminine energy, they try to stay in their lane for the most part. And then when you want to talk to each other from your secondary side, then you knock on the door, so to speak, and make an appointment. Say, oh, I have some, if it's a lady, we'll say, or a feminine energy person, we'll say, oh, I have something to, I have an idea about this remodeling that we're doing in our house, for instance. You want to hear it now? Can I share my ideas with you? That's when you're saying, opening the door for your husband or your mate to talk about your thinking, which is masculine, and your ideas, and that way they can hear you. And that's respectful. It's showing respect. And that way you'll be heard, not just blurting out. Right?
100%. One of the other things that I think that is really important about that is when you go to have that conversation, you have to be respectful of their time. You know, you have to make the appointment, but you can't do the thing that some people want to do where they go, we need to talk. And then they turn and saunter off. You know, you've got to give somebody that thing where you say, hey, listen, you know, I have a topic I'd like to talk to you about. Maybe it's going to be a little uncomfortable. It's about yada, yada. Give them whatever it is, so that they're not sitting there stewing and contemplating, because, you know, that sets up a thing where the person's already putting up their dukes, getting ready for a fight, getting ready for whatever that may be when they don't know the subject. And that's one of the real key points that Pat and I were discussing with a group of the ladies the other day, is the woman said, well, I told him we needed to talk. And that was like the sirens and the whistles started going off. Because, you know, I don't know if that's ever happened to you, Patricia, but it's happened to me before. It can be devastating all day long. You're sitting there going like, what is this about?
You sound like you're going to the principal's office.
Right? It's pretty unfair. And it's almost done. I don't want to say it, but I'm going to say it. It's almost done with malice.
It's almost, what it's very parental, like you're getting in trouble from the parent and you're a child. So you want to talk adult to adult. And this is what we teach at the WANT Institute. And all of this communication training is about healthy communication so that everyone can be heard and not get defensive and say things in a way that can be, that the other person can hear. And we negotiate everything. People say everything? Yes. Everything in your life is negotiable, even about hanging up the bath towels. Everything is a negotiation when you're living with another person. Isn't that so, Kelly?
It is. It is. And I just had one woman say, well, you know what? I'm going to break up with him because he won't put the toilet seat down. And I said, well, goodness gracious. I hope he doesn't break up with you because you won't put the toilet seat up. You know,
everything is negotiable.
Which side of the perspective are you looking on? The women are like, I want him to put the toilet seat down. Maybe he's sitting there going like, why won't you put the toilet seat up? I mean, it's perspective. And sometimes we have to put ourselves in another person's position before we have the discussion to try to understand what their perspective might be. And so that you're open when they start talking about it instead of just being closed-minded, because this is the way I want it. And that's what I want. You know, wanting is masculine. It's pretty masculine.
Not that you don't have wants in your life, but it's how you express them. And this is how we want to keep the communication open and fluid. And everyone, we want what we try for in this style of communication is win-win. So nobody's a loser. We want win-win situations, which stems from Eric Byrne's work in transactional analysis. So all this has a very strong foundation and basis of this style of communication so that everybody is speaking from their adult, not their child or not their negative parent side. And it's all very fascinating when we get it.
It is.
How life goes more smoothly.
Well, my mother was a big fan of Eric Byrne. And she used Eric Byrne's book, The Games People Play, as a bludgeon and a tool of manipulation. So, you know, you can use things for good or you can use things for evil. So I was 12 years old, and I saw her reading that book and I thought, what is that about? So one day I snuck in and I took the book and I read it. And she was looking everywhere for that book. And I was like, yeah, I have no idea where it is. And I learned that from the book. And, you know, it's interesting because as I grew older and I read it again, I understood the difference of how my mother used and manipulated that information and how I sought to use it. I sought to use it as a way to figure out what she was doing and defend myself from her actions. And she chose to use it as a tool of malice. And don't get me wrong, I love my mother. But we learned to communicate much better after I understood the game.
Very good. Well, that's a good point that you learned that at a young age, how something good can be twisted and used not in a healthy way. So anyway, our number again, our call-in number for our live callers is 323-203-0819.
And
5-0815. I'm sorry. 323-203-0815. So we are waiting for you to call us and get into your stuff. Now, we had some great callers in the last couple of weeks. We're waiting to hear follow-ups, too. We love to hear the follow-ups when you have some success using these communication tools.
And exactly. You know, you said something earlier that I thought was really interesting. You said we're trying to keep people to stay in their own lane. And I think as you get more intimate with a person and you get into a more long-term relationship, I thought, yeah, stay in your own lane, which is a certain way of being, you know, you're individual, but almost like when you're in that thing where you guys are together and you're like, I don't know, let's say plotting a course or charting a flight, you got to figure out which seat you're going to sit in, the pilot seat or the co-pilot seat. And then you got to stay in your seat. You know, when you're navigating that lane, I mean, when you've got two lanes, maybe somebody's going east and somebody's going west. So maybe you're not traveling in lockstep.
Hello, we have a caller.
Hi, awesome. I have to turn the radio down. I'm sorry. One second.
Very good. Thank you. What can we do for you? Hi.
So I've been listening and following Dr. Pat's lessons, and now I have a boyfriend of a year.
Yay.
I'm not complaining about that part. But when we started dating, I told him that I didn't want to be in a relationship for much longer than a year and not be seriously talking about marriage. So we're at the year. I'm trying to get him to give me a date, but I'm trying not to apply pressure. Mm-hmm. But he won't give me a date.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he comes up with all these things about... Huh?
Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
Well, he comes up about all these things that, you know, we still need to talk about. Why our core is the way we are and why these things are the way they are. And I agree, but I also want to be married in a year or about a year.
Okay. Do you want to, here's what we do. We want to give someone a range, a time range. So you've been going out for about a year already, seeing each other
yes.
for about a year, your boyfriend and girlfriend for about a year already, right?
Right.
So then what you have to decide is how much longer you give a range, how and when, but a range between, like, say, I want to talk about our long-term plans, and that is, from my perspective, I want, and you can have a want in this area because it doesn't have to be with him. You can say, I would feel most comfortable us being engaged. Are you engaged yet, by the way?
No, and he says things like, it's like we're already in an engagement. And I'm like, "That no, we're not."
Okay, do you have a promise ring?
No.
You don't have any kind of symbol of commitment. Well, first of all, you can say, I really would feel most comfortable having a symbol of our commitment moving towards a long-term commitment, whether it be, you want marriage, right?
Yes.
Okay, moving towards marriage. So I would, that symbol to me would be a ring. And at this point, since you've already been together a year, it would be in the form of an engagement ring. And then you would say, and I want to be married by, within what would be comfortable for you, 3 to 6 months of that, having that said that?
Well, he said that he wants to be married, and he said he's comfortable being married in 2024.
But this is 2024, my dear. So you have to
say you
want to be married when? When, in your mind's eye, when is your perfect day? Month. Just give me a month.
2 weeks ago.
Okay, well, we don't have a time machine. So what would be your perfect ideal? Because you have to have a plan, unless you just go do it at the courthouse and call it a day, or go to Vegas and have Elvis marry you. What do you want to do?
Yeah, and that's the thing. Like, I want an elopement. I would have so much anxiety if I had a wedding, and he knows that I don't want a wedding.
Okay.
So the planning part would be really simple.
I would feel so comfortable. I would really want to be married by no later than, what do you want to say? What's your end date that you, otherwise you're going to say, I want to be married to you or someone. So since I'm with you now, I want to be married by when? You want to say by August, by July?
I guess like
June, May,
March.
I know, tomorrow. Yeah.
Tomorrow, because I wrote him a letter, not a hi-bye letter, but I wrote him a letter and said, like, if we're not seriously talking about marriage, I'm going to leave. Like, I've already done that part. And yes. I told him I wouldn't come back to his place until we have a timeline for marriage. And I've been sticking to that. Like, not going to his house.
You have already done that, my dear, but you didn't give him a month. You didn't give him by when, an expiration date. You need to give him the expiration date of that comment.
Okay.
So I want you to say it to us now. Tell me what that expiration date is for you. By when?
Well, I would say, honey, I love being with you.
Yes.
I want to be married by March.
By sometime in March. You can, that gives
by sometime
you
a, in March.
Yes. Very good. Very good.
Okay.
So he knows he has that much time to ruminate, and that's what he needs to do. He needs that time period. And if he goes away, it still may be come back, but he knows that's your time frame. That's your time frame.
After I left his house, he still calls me every day. Like, I'm trying to, like, give him, like, kind of an eight-week kind of thing, but he still calls me every day to check on me. And I love it, but I'm like, no, we're supposed to be having time for you to think about this. Is that normal? Like, what's wrong with him?
Well, he's just a man. There's no perfect man. So you can not say, I don't. The next time you call me, it will be because you are planning the date in March. Once you, the next conversation or text you give him is your time frame.
Okay.
And you have to lay that time frame out. You have to lay the time frame out because it's not fair to say a general statement without a time frame if the consequence is you leaving.
Yes.
So, you know, it's like I bought a package of chicken and I put it in the refrigerator. It has an expiration date. You're either going to use that chicken or freeze that chicken.
Or it's out.
Before the expiration date, or it's out. So if you don't give him that expiration date, it's like you want him to mind read. And we really frown on that. We don't believe in that mind reading thing. It's not fair. It's not right, and it doesn't serve either one of you. So if you go in with a definitive statement, I want this.
To be married, you can do by that. March, by March 15th, by March. In March.
2024.
It could be before, by March.
Right.
Yeah.
Of this, of, make sure you
of
stay
2024. Here. Of 2024.
Right. Okay. I appreciate you guys. I listen to you all the time and in the archives, and I've read three of Dr. Pat's books. So thank you so much for the work you guys do.
thank you
for calling. Good luck. Bye-bye. Make sure you follow up. We
thank
want
you.
To hear.
Okay. Okay, bye.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Very good.
Yeah, that expiration date's really, really important. You know, you can't expect somebody to mind read. And that's another thing that I get. I know you probably get it too with some of your ladies groups and people. They want them to mind read. And I'm like, well, wait a minute. Did you read his mind? Did you have any idea? You know,
well, we also,
he should know. Why should he know? That's a question, Patricia. When they come up with that, he should know. Why? Why should he know?
Right. And, you know, we do help men too. So men, you call, you can always contact the WAN Institute also, and couples, people who want to work on their negotiations and their agreements together. So all that you can contact info@drpatallen.com or call, go onto the website and call the office. and get an appointment. So if you don't want to do a group, you can have privates, and Sue will organize that. And also, anyone who's interested in dream work, because the dreams are a direct link to the subconscious mind, you can inquire about that too. So all that is more of your personal growth, and it's all you can find out more information through the Want Institute.
You can. So,
callers, we're waiting for you, and we can't wait to hear from you. We're at 323-203-0815.
Yay!
I want to talk more about people who don't know Dr. Pat Allen's book. Her first book was called Conversational Rape, and that was based on her doctoral work in communication. But her relationship book, her first relationship book, was Getting to I Do, which a lot of people refer to as the Bible of relating. And that is out there on Amazon and everywhere. And her more recent book, It's a Man's World and a Woman's Universe, Dr. Pat Allen. So that's a little bit more esoteric, but it's all fascinating to see how relationships can work optimally through communication skills.
That's a heavy read, though. It's a heavy read.
That one is. Yeah, that's a little more esoteric.
It is. I mean, if you're looking to get into a relationship.
Hello.
Hello.
Yes.
Hey, caller, what's up?
So I was just calling because I am in a relationship, man, and we recently got engaged. And for whatever reason, I'm having a lot of second thoughts about being in this relationship, and I'm just trying to sort through it.
Well, so let me just say something. Yes, I'm glad you did. Well, engagements... it doesn't mean you're married yet. An engagement, you might look at it like a further due diligence period. And that's where you're still investigating each other for long term. And not all engagements end up in marriage. Now, that's the intention that you will be married. But you find out more about yourself and the other individual when you're in this engaged. How long did you date each other before getting engaged?
Well, we were kind of off and on for the first 5 months or so. Mm-hmm. And I had my doubts then, and then I decided to give it a go. And then we've been seeing each other very seriously for the last 5 months.
Mm-hmm.
So here's one of the things about engagement that's interesting. It's almost like it's a planned endeavor with respect to figuring out if you can really want to connect your stream to this person's stream to create a river. Now, that's an interesting idea. Why would we get engaged to figure that out? I have a very good friend who just recently got engaged, and then he called me up and he said, I'm not sure I can do this. I don't know if I can. So he is on the same path that you are, analyzing whether or not this is A, number one, the right relationship. B, number two, is marriage really for you?
Right.
C, number three, is this the person you really want to wake up every morning with for the rest of your life?
Let me ask you this. Yeah, let me ask you this. Where are the glitches? Where do you feel the glitches?
So there's just been several things where, and they might seem like little things, but they're just things that bother me. But overall, bigger picture, he has a lot of, he's a veteran, and he was in Iraq, and he went through the war, and he doesn't ever talk to me about that stuff, which is like, I mean, he just doesn't open up about stuff. He's very closed off.
That's understandable. That's common. Go ahead.
And I give him that. Like, I don't try to press him for information on that. But I think it affects him in other ways where he doesn't. He's not a very communicative, open person. So he never really is. He just doesn't talk much.
Well, there's more to talk about other than his time he spent in the service.
But yeah, we don't talk much about like anything. It just feels kind of superficial at this moment.
What's superficial? Because you have girlfriends to talk to, and I'll tell you something, just biologically, men don't need to talk as much as women do. That's why even in ancient times, historically, women had gatherings like sewing bees and patchwork bees and coffee clutches. Women need to talk more, but we don't need to talk to men all the time. They don't like
I get that. I'm willing to compromise there and not, I don't demand.
And have girlfriends for your talking, all the talking you need. Well, what is it besides just wanting to talk with him? What else do you have in common? Do you have other common, any compatibility? Do you have a compatibility issue? Do you like to do the same things together?
We do like to do some of the same things together. That's why I'm just not sure why I feel this way. I just feel like.
It may be it's that he's not doing it your way, the way you envision things, because it sounds to me like maybe you're the masculine energy here. And if he's also a masculine energy, you will clash because you can't have two primary masculine energy people in a relationship. Do you want him to do things your way and not be passive, patient, and vulnerable and let him lead?
Well, I mean, I've definitely contemplated that because I've listened to Dr. Pat mm-hmm. and you guys for a long time, so mm-hmm. I definitely don't try to push my way on him, and I don't, it's not like that, it's just he has, like I was saying, some issues with, I know he's got some depression and PTSD and health issues due to his
service. He getting help in those areas? Is he seeking mental health professionals?
He does take meds and has a counselor and goes mm-hmm. to VA and takes care of himself in that regard. Mm-hmm. We can't really sleep together because he has, I mean, he's brought his equipment to my house, like CPAP and stuff. And we try, but I just can't sleep with him. He snores. So I'm like, I don't know how this is going to work long term. And then just,
here's what I'm going to give you a little task. Since you are now officially engaged, you tell me, right?
Yes.
Okay. So here's what you do. You take a calendar and you start today on a calendar. And each day for the next 30 days, if you can hang in there for the next 30 days, you mark on the calendar a plus or a minus, meaning is this a feel good enough day? Did I feel at least 51%? Is he at least 51% valuable to me today? And you mm-hmm. assess that yourself. And if he didn't demean you or talk rude to you, or if he was nice to you and was giving, protecting, and cherishing, that day gets a plus. The next day, you assess by the end of the day, was this a plus day or a minus day? And by the end of the 30 days, you will assess how many pluses and minuses you calculate to see, well, if it's over 50% of the days, if there are 16 out of 30 days that were pluses, maybe it's good enough to work on and see if you can stick it out with him. But if there are more minuses, then come back. It will call us anyway with your calculations.
Yeah, I'll do that.
But check in with your feelings, how you felt by the end of the day with him or about him, how he helped you feel good. or how he didn't make you feel good, then that's a minus. If you felt good about him and what he did for you that day, or how you communicated well, or how you just in general, how you felt with him, that's a plus or a minus.
Okay.
You want to do that exercise? Okay.
Maybe he has, maybe the VA could get him some help to try EMDR instead of talk therapy.
Yeah, I think he's done some of that kind of stuff.
They do offer that at the VA. Mm-hmm, they do offer that. It was actually, EMDR was designed for vets back in Vietnam days.
Oh, yeah, right.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I could tell you a situation that might shed some light, but I just, I mean, that just happened and freaked me out, but maybe it sounds like a little thing, but it's kind of a big thing, like, to me, I guess, because of how he handled it, but maybe I'm just being masculine, so maybe you can help. I was at his house and he had this little box on his counter and I picked it up. I was like, oh, what's this? And he's like, oh, that's the puzzle box. And I'm like, oh, cause he had proposed to his previous ex box. And I was like, oh, is this the ex girlfriend proposal box? And he's like, yeah. And I was like, why do you have this? It's kind of weird. He's like, oh, I was just seeing if it still worked. And I was like, well, maybe you could get rid of it. And he was like, he didn't really, and he's just like, don't worry about it. Like,
you didn't, I want to help you with the request of that is that I understand that this was something, meant something to you at one time. However, I'm uncomfortable. If you come from your comfort level, you are coming from your feminine, not just giving him an order. So you're saying, I would be most comfortable if you would choose to give it away or do something with it, because to me, it feels uncomfortable for me to know that you still have something from your former relationship. You see how the difference is, get it away. I tell him to get it out of here. That's very different than saying I'm uncomfortable with it.
Well, and I did say it like that after the fact. I mean, I might have reacted a little edgier at first, but I did explain that to him and it took him a while. He told me, like, I'd ask him multiple times, like, well, are you going to get rid of it? Because I feel really...
No, that's acting like a mother or a principal. No, now you're badgering him. We don't want to do that. We don't want to badger men because they were probably already badgered by their mother or a past girlfriend who was a bitch. So nagging them to do something is not the answer. Right, Kelly?
And I don't, I don't want to do that. I felt not like I was doing that.
I would advise again.
I don't want to do that. So how do I know when, like, because there's the impulse to be like, well, here's the solution. Can you just do this? And then, like,
well, that is in your masculine because it's your idea coming up with a solution rather than letting him come up with a solution. All you have to come up with is the problem of your discomfort and ask him, what do you think you could do about it to help me feel better? Then he comes up with a solution. See, you had the solution. That's masculine. We would want you to just present him a problem of your discomfort and see how he would help comfort you. You see the difference?
Yeah, I do. I try to do it that way, but I think sometimes
you've already done it a way that was telling a man what to do and sounding like a mother or a school teacher. So never going to work with a man.
He told me, he's like, well, I don't like being told what to do. That's why I didn't do it right away. And I'm like,
that's exactly
I understand that, but
you'll get the opposite of what you want when you do it that way.
Right. Okay. So there's my error there. And
I think you just need to drop it for now. You need to drop it and never bring it up again. He knows what he knows the problem. Now it's going to be on his terms when he decides to get rid of it. And you're not married yet. So if it comes time to, let's work on the other stuff. Forget about the box for now.
I mean, he did tell me that he got rid of it, and so it's gone. But
okay, but I wanted you to get the lesson out of this for your approach.
Well, that's why I brought it out, because I'm like...
Good, I'm glad you did. What,
how did I contribute? I know that it's not all on him, but it's like...
Good, good, good girl. Okay.
And he did get rid of it, so... That's a check mark in his
on his terms, though, when he wanted to.
Yeah, right.
Good.
Exactly.
Okay, very good.
Okay, right. Well, I'll just do the calendar and see how it goes.
Call us again with your report.
I base that on how I feel about things, because sometimes I think I get in my head about it and I'm like, oh, I...
No, not an analysis. Not an analysis in your head. Just your gut feeling. How I feel.
Okay.
How did I feel with him today? How did I feel being with him today? How did he make me feel today?
All right. My question is, we're going to try to find out if he's 51% valuable on his worst day. Anybody can be 90, 80, 75, 72, 68% valuable on any day, but on the worst day, does he make the 51% mark?
And then that's if he's over the, if it's at least 51% on the worst day, it's still a plus. But it's your gut feelings. Check in with how you feel that day, and at the end of 30 days you do your tally.
Right.
And call us back. Okay. Very good.
All right. I will. Thank you, guys. Thank you, Lee.
Good luck, darling.
Thanks. Bye.
Bye-bye.
That's what the ladies nowadays do. They badger their men and want them to do things. And the men already had a mother. They don't want another mother.
No, they don't. And, you know,
they want a partner.
You were saying earlier... You know, men, you were starting to bring it up, and I think we got a caller. So you're 100% right. The tools work for everyone. The tools work for everyone. So if men are out there and they're like, I don't know what these tools are, I don't know how these tools work, they work for everybody. The language may be a little different when it's a man and a woman, depending on which energy you are, how you may speak, but they work. The tools work. You know, one of the tools that I train my guys on is the very first tool I train them with is the amigo talk, because it's not as threatening to them. And so, but, you know, even high bi letters, I've had men come to me and say, well, you know, she wrote me a high bi letter. And I'm like, okay. And they're like, well, I have something to say back, but I don't want to try to say it in words to her face because I think I'll get interrupted. And I say, you get to write a high bi letter too. It's not just one sex or one energy.
That's right.
They get a little bit, you know, and then a lot of times too, the ladies are like, well, you know, he's not following the tools. And I'm like, he doesn't know the tools. How does he know the tools? So, you know, they're welcome to learn. They're welcome to reach out to us to understand. We'll give them books to read and things to understand and, you know, manuals to look at. Those tools are great.
Yes. And there's some wonderful little books by Robert Johnson, and they are called, they're little, three little books. He, She, and We, and they're very thin books, and they're descriptive of the different positions. And Dr. Pat always has referred to those books too, and they're very, very fun little books to read and understand. And so we have to always remember with men, we're going to be dealing with the there's a toad in every prince. And even the most perfect-seeming guy is going to have his faults, too. Just like we are a princess, But boy, we can be a banshee. There's a banshee behind that too. And we're trying to, that's what we're trying to keep out of play. Right, Kelly?
Yeah, every rose has a thorn. Let's just hope that when we start arranging that bouquet, we don't keep hitting those thorns. So that's the thing too. It's when I was saying to my ladies, you have these expectations of him that he should change this and he should change that, and he's not doing this right and he's not doing that right. And my question to you is, how in the world can you stand to be with him? I had no idea you were so perfect. You're probably going to get caught up to heaven. You know, we all have our faults and our problems. But if we're always focusing on our partner's faults and problems, we're probably looking through that glass darkly and not seeing what's going on with our own things. I'm like, you must be Mary Poppins. You're practically perfect in every way. But we're not. We're not. And we have these expectations. And the other thing too is I say, wait a minute, you picked him, but now you want to change him. Like, you don't go in and buy carpet for your house and then go, you know what, I'm going to change this carpet. It's a pretty permanent item. You know, nobody changes their carpet every day. So, you know, it's a pretty permanent item. Like, what are you doing here? Why are we changing him? You've been with him 4 months and now all of a sudden, you know, he needs to shave his beard different and he needs to do this. And, you know, I don't like the hair on his back. Well, he has it and that's just part of who he is. So maybe he could get it waxed, but maybe he won't.
We choose to accept him, which means that you may not always like or approve of what he is and does, but you find more assets than liabilities. And that makes you want to stay with him. So which to accept is to love someone even when you don't always approve of their behavior. So
yes,
back to the beginning. There's no perfect person, not even you or me.
And like you were talking about, if we're having any doubts, the best thing to do is pop that calendar out. But also, too, my friend has been contacting me over and over, and he's like, I'm not sure anymore. And I'm like, the question you need to ask yourself is, were you ever sure in the beginning? And is anything ever a sure thing? You can say to me, I don't want to take a risk on her because she could die. Well, anybody could die. I don't want to take a risk on her because it could end. All relationships end. Sometimes in divorce, sometimes in death, they're all going to end. What do you get out of them along the way? It's part of the tapestry of life. It molds us into who we are and who we become. Not all relationships last forever, but sometimes you have forever in that relationship, even if it's just a short time.
So that being said, we don't have any more callers, and I like to see you all again next week. How about that, Kelly?
I think we should. We're looking forward to it.
Okay. And just remember, the only way you know you love yourself or anybody else is by the commitments you're willing to make and keep.
Yes. Sign up for those groups. Reach out. info@drpatallen.com.
You're listening to On the Air with Dr. Pat Allen. Empowered communication, right here on LA Talk Radio.